Frage war, Tom. Chapter 12, verse number 52.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
The transcendental activities of Dhruva Maharaj are well known all over the world. They are very pure. In childhood, Dhruva Maharaj rejected all kinds of toys and playthings, left the protection of his mother, and seriously took shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu. My dear Vidura, I therefore conclude this narration, for I have described to you all its details. Purport. It is said by Chanakya Pandit that life is certainly short for everyone, but if one acts properly, his reputation will remain for a generation. As the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna is everlastingly famous, so the reputation of Lord Krishna's devotee is also everlasting. Therefore, in describing Dhruva Maharaj's activities, two specific words have been used: Vikyata, very famous, and Vishuddha, transcendental. Dhruva Maharaj's leaving home at a tender age and taking shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the forest is a unique example of this in this world. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pistaya Bhutale Simada Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Darasate Devam Gauravani Pracharine Nivase Sasunyavari Paskachari Satarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Garada Sivasadi Go Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Shirdi Prabhu, is this lecture recorded? I'm asking because the devotees begged me that, because this is in English, and I'm only speaking in German otherwise. So, fine. These devotees wanted to have English lectures. Once again, idam maya te vihitam kurudva dhruvasya vikyata vishuddha karmana vidvarabhaka krodhanakani matu griham cha vishnum sharanam yo jagama. The transcendental activities of Dhruva Maharaj are well known all over the world, and they are very pure. In childhood, Dhruva Maharaj rejected all kinds of toys and playthings, left the protection of his mother, and seriously took shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu. My dear Vidura, I therefore conclude this narration, for I have described to you all its details. It is described here that the child Dhruva left all his playthings and toys, and even his mother. This is a sign of vairagya, of detachment. Sometimes the materialist accuses the spiritualist or transcendentalist that by giving up so many things, he actually deprives himself of life's important necessities. He cannot develop as a healthy, well-rounded human being and eventually might develop neurosis by his undue and even violent renunciation of the good things in life. However, this argument is based on ignorance about the beauty of transcendental life. We find even in this world that a person gives up certain habits in order to take to others. When Lunajit Prabhu, for instance, was very small, I think you had some toys which whom you played. Even toy animals, usually little children have toy animals without whom there is no question of going to sleep. If there is not the prized toy animal present, the family might have to return from the holidays to the place where they live in order to get it, so that the child, the youngest child, will go to sleep even when he is on holiday. Otherwise he won't. However, there is a time in the life when one leaves the world of the toys behind and instead becomes attracted to studies or sports or cinema or music, and in this way changes from one kind of toy to the next. Then there is another field. That's when a man usually falls in love. He becomes no longer interested in the world of music or sport or so on. He becomes interested in career, where he wants to obtain enough money so that he will be able to take care of his expanding body, means the family. So we find, in other words, that for the world of music or sports, a child is prepared to sacrifice violently his toys, and for the world of sexual pleasures, man is prepared to give up the pleasures of the old, teenager or young man. We find this, that renunciation upon having obtained something which is considered to be higher is a natural factor which accompanies the human being through his different stages of growth. It is not the cause of neurosis, nor if someone, a grown-up man, would still be helplessly attached to the toys of his childhood. He would be considered neurotic. We would have to send him up to in Sweden to psychologists and psychotherapists, because we would think that, no, this person is strange. He has gone a little wrong inside his head. So the Vaishnavas, they give this world up as a useless toy or playground. They are no longer attached to the same place, toys which are there in the material world. In America, the land of the toys and playthings, there is a sarcastic remark about the American society. It says, whoever dies with the most toys wins the race. You understand? Whoever dies with the most toys, he wins the race. But a Vaishnava knows, no, the lesser I am attached, the lesser I have toys in the material world, the better I am off. Isn't it? This is vice versa. A complete different outlook to life. Because someone, and this will be the thesis of this lecture, someone who is attached and he becomes dependent. And someone who is dependent loses his freedom. The more you are dependent on material goods for your satisfaction, the easier you become disturbed when everything is not present, when the modern amenities are not present. We have seen this practically in India, when people from the West, tourists, come there and are confronted with an Indian lifestyle. They become almost helpless. I know a person who will be only able to go to the toilet if it's up to the standard of a 5-star hotel. So this is a colleague of my father who went, who for that reason could not go with him to India, because he feared to be cloaked up all the time. Yes, this is a fact. And I have even seen when we were the first time in India, we had some German friends of Lord Krishna with us. And Ludwig, this is interesting, you will like this. The friend of Lord Krishna, he said, because there was no German bread available, he prematurely traveled back to Germany, because he was highly dependent to stick the German bread in his face. This was very important. People get nervous in the absence of sexual intercourse, in the absence of cigarettes, in the absence of whiskey and alcohol, in the absence of TV. Many people become completely emotionally disturbed when there is no possibility to see TV any longer. Do you know this? This is an actual psychological fact. So in Krishna consciousness, we do not want to become slaves. We want to become free. Prabhupada, in his purport to the second chapter of the first canto, Srila Prabhupada tells us about freedom. Because foolish people, it's in the eighth text of the second chapter, because foolish people have no information of the soul and how it is beyond the purview of the body and mind, they are not satisfied in the performance of their occupational duties. The self is beyond the gross body and subtle mind. He is a potent active principle of the body and mind. Without knowing the need of the dormant soul, one cannot be happy simply with emolument of the body and mind. The body and the mind are but superfluous outer coverings of the spirit soul. The spiritual soul's need must be fulfilled. Simply by cleansing the cage of the bird, one does not satisfy the bird. One must actually know the needs of the bird himself. The need of the spirit soul is that he wants to get out of the limited sphere of material bondage and fulfill his desire for complete freedom. He wants to get out of the covered walls of the greater universe. He wants to see the free light and the spirit. The complete freedom is achieved when he meets the complete spirit, the personality of Godhead. There is a dormant affection for God within everyone. Spiritual existence is manifested through the gross body and the mind in the form of perverted affection for gross and subtle matter. To sum this up, the need of the spirit soul is one of complete freedom. The foolish materialist does not know this, and therefore he becomes obsessed with the futile endeavor to satisfy the needs of the soul, which are pervertedly reflected through the body and through the mind. In other words, the need of the soul when coming in contact with the body gives rise to bodily urges and mental desires. And the conditioned soul mistakes these to be the actual need and therefore becomes helpless in trying to satisfy them. I've seen this when I entered Denmark. It seems the Danes always have to eat something, otherwise there's no real pleasure in life. When we were for passport control, he couldn't even control the passport because he had to chew on his ice cream, not chew, lick his ice cream. Then we went out, then someone, big Dane, always ate something, I don't know, I also was not interested to look what it was in particular. TV food, this is called here TV food in America. Always they have to eat, otherwise. Now, what is here? It's a spiritual desire, actually, which comes in contact with the body, and then the body, you think you have unlimited bodily desires. Always have to drink something, see something, hear something, eat something. It is tragic. It's again a sign of a very undeveloped mind. If sometimes we have this in our temple, devotees, not in our temple there, it's not happening, but in the material world, you see people feel some distress and then they take shelter and food. They make a general attack on the refrigerator every night. I wanted to say a major attack on the refrigerator and take whatever they can get a hold of, because they think in this way I solve my problem by sticking food in my mouth. It's actually a very primitive understanding, but they suffer from this. They're not very developed, as we have heard in previous lectures several times. So the need of the soul, when pervertedly reflected through the body, becomes misidentified as the desire for sense gratification. But in actuality, this is a real perverted understanding. It is not in tune with the human being's real needs. It is a foolish observation. We want to, as Prabhupada says, it's so nice, please hear this again. We have a new guest, he must hear this again. The need of the spirit soul is that he wants to get out of the limited sphere of material bondage and fulfill his desire for complete freedom. He wants to get out of the covered walls of the greater universe. He wants to see the free light and the spirit. That complete freedom is achieved when he meets the complete spirit, the personality of Godhead. Our real spiritual need is the need for freedom, but our body and our mind always becomes our prison. When I first met our Vaikunthanath, he was at dancer in the discotheque, but he showed people, young people, how to sin, how to get into this very much. He was a teacher, actually, a guru for sanskritification. So, and that, I still remember this urge of the conditioned soul to dance, to be in the front, to show, is actually a perverted reflection of the desire of the soul to come to the freedom of the light, the Vaikuntha planets, the spiritual universe. Do you understand? We never want to be part of the mass, the dull mass which enters the slaughterhouse of material civilization. No one in his mind wants to do it. Therefore, all the young people, they want to break with the rules of society. They want to be free. No one should tell them what they have to do. And if need be, they even live like dogs in Christiana to experience the freedom. It's a natural desire of the soul. In whatever the soul does, he wants to achieve an unlimited amount of pleasure. However, if, again, I have to say this, this becomes reflected through the body and the mind, he is a bound slave to the laws which govern the body and the mind. I want to now make this point in very graphic terms by quoting one psychologist who has made it in the amongst many psychologies, just he has become quite famous. It is Mr. Skinner. Mr. Skinner devised what is called the Skinner box. He started with experiments with the rats. In the Skinner box, it was a limited sphere. There was a mechanism which could be dealt with or handled by the rat. He would press a button and all of a sudden food would drop out from the blue, so to say, from the ceiling of the box. He could drop another, press another button, and he would have something to drink. The experiments showed after some time that the rat was he became trained to choose the right things. So from this, Skinner developed his psychology of behaviorism. That means that every one of us has learned to behave in a proper way so that we will get pleasures. We all know that if we behave wrongly towards our wife, then she becomes frustrated and does not give us sense gratification in the night. We all have learned that we have to be awake during the classroom teachings, because if we do not be awake, then we might get bad notes and do not make it in society. We all have to behave. We all have learned to behave politely towards our superiors in order to not be punished. And in this way, he says, we all live in a box, our own individual box, where we have, which has taught us a certain way of behavior. It's in the Skinner box. Each one of us is just a complicated pattern of learned behavior, and there is no question of something which we might call freedom, because in fact we are all like cosmic rats in our own little box. You follow this philosophy? I think it is not very difficult to understand. I will now, in order to put injury to shame, read one sentence from him which you can investigate with your analytical mind. The picture which emerges from a scientific analysis is not of a body with person inside, but of a body which is a person in the sense that it displays a complex repertoire of behavior. In other words, we all are the body, be satisfied with this, which has learned to behave in a proper way according to our social environment. You are Hare Krishnas, you come to the lecture because there's Keshi Hunter who makes Keshi Hunter is the name? Kamsa Hunter. He makes some signs. If you don't attend the program, this will be, then Chiranjeev Prabhu will get heavy with you, the temple president, and will tell you, you are Maya Prabhu, and then he might suggest to you that you should not eat morning prasadam any longer. So for that reason you have learned to come to the class. It is not that you come by interest. It is not that you come by some spiritual need. It's social pressure. Even if you are a guest, if you don't come to the sannyasi class, he will not. He will think you are a Maya. You are not fired up in Krishna consciousness, and you won't get his hand on the shoulder. In this way, every one of us is a bound biophysical robot. That's all. So now this is heavy. Now we must find some arguments against this, otherwise this is actually an unbearable situation. It's a heavy point, isn't it? To put it in Skinner terms, we are all have become dependent on the reward and punishment system. If we don't behave properly, we won't get initiated, so better show ourselves from the best side, that's on the level of the bhakta. And if we don't get nice scores, then no one will jay to us. That's on the level of the older Sankirtan devotee. And if the temple if the devotees bloop in the house of the temple president, he will be looked upon as some cruel tyrant. So, anyways, I think the point is clear, and the air is polluted enough, so we have to go and clarify this point now. Now, we as spiritual philosophers, and well, we are more than that, we as devotees would agree with Skinner to a certain extent. It is a fact that our body and mind are dependent on the environment, on the cosmic box. We are in a cosmic box. To a certain extent, the example which the Srimad Bhagavatam gives is the moon, which becomes reflected on the water of a reservoir of a lake. When the wind blows into the water, the water will shake or build little waves, and it will appear as if the actual moon is shaking. But this is only an outer appearance. The real moon remains fixed, unmoved in the sky. So in a similar way, in contact with the material energy, we seem to become influenced. But the soul is not, just like our Prabhu here is sleeping on the comfortable chair. It appears as if he is sleeping, but the soul is suffering. It is eternally awake. Our Utkala Prabhu has troubles with his foot. It appears, but the soul is Satchit Ananda, eternally full of bliss and knowledge. There's only an appearance, but this appearance is false, just like the moon appears to totter, but it is a false situation. Material life, we are influenced by the material energy, and someone who thinks he is not is in ahankara, that is the false identification. This is explained very nicely in the Bhagavad Gita in a shlok, prakriti kriyamana ni gunai karmani sarvashaha ahankara vimudhatma kataham iti manyate. The living entity, which is bewildered by the modes of material nature, thinks himself to be the doer of activities which are in actuality carried out by the modes of material nature. In other words, the living entity is a puppet on a string, helplessly controlled by matter, but the soul is not, the real person is not. And that real person is crying out, I want to be free. Now, because people are not spiritually enlightened, they misunderstand this crying as, I want to eat, I want to have sense gratification, I want to dance, 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 dance. I want to have romance and have unending pleasures in it. Huh? It's a misrepresentation of the spiritual call of the soul for freedom and happiness, because the soul becomes reflected in the body and in the mind. This is the point. Just like when we have little children, they may be very thirsty, but because the parents are not personal enough, because they are not hearing what the little child wants, they stick some food in his mouth so that the child cries even more in agony. This is the situation. So when the soul gets covered, there will be five different coverings of the true self, and these five different coverings will be responsible for his cosmic behavior, for his undue materialistic behavior. I've written this down as to present it to you in an authentic way. First is accepting the body to be the self. Second is to make sense gratification the standard of life. Oh, now I have a car, now I have a nice apartment which the welfare pays, now I can have enough sense gratification, now it is hygelig. Now everything is okay. This is actually a wrong thing. Now I'm fat, I'm no longer skinny, I have made it in my life, I'm something worth. This is to make bodily sense gratification the standard of happiness. Then third is we become full of anxiety if we do not fulfill our bodily needs. Then fourth, we lament, and fifth, we think there's something beyond the absolute truth. These are the exact influences of the cosmic box on our consciousness. It's the influence of five kinds of illusions, which are very nicely described in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Once again, I want to tell you, because if we understand this, this will be very good for our spiritual life. Accepting the body to be the self. This is the first illusion. Second illusion, making sense gratification the standard for our happiness. Third illusion is anxiety due to material identification. Fourth is that we lament when we don't obtain our goals. And fifth, thinking that there is anything beyond the Krishna consciousness. This is how Maya works. Now, in Krishna consciousness, this unfreedom, bondage we say, has to be broken. This is the goal and the purpose of the Krishna consciousness movement. It's a breaking movement, breaking of the bonds of illusion, breaking the bonds of attachments, so that we will become free. This is very nicely explained in the second chapter of the first canto, I believe. Bidyate hridayagantis chityante sarva sankshaya kshiyante, it all means cutting, terminating, chasya karmani drishta evat manishvare. Thus the knot in the heart, which is binding the eternal soul to illusions, is pierced and all misgivings are cut to pieces. The chain of fruit of action is terminated when one sees the self as master. What is this? I thought I'm the servant. Now all of a sudden, the self as master? This is a misspelling. Some might think. No, but it is here in the Sanskrit. Drishta means seeing. Evat manishvare. Atma is clear, means self, and Ishvara, we all know this, don't be an Ishvara, Prabhu. It means controller. So, when we see the self, what is meant with this is that we should, by spiritual knowledge, see the superiority of the soul over matter. It is not necessary that we are a slave. It is not necessary that we are on the mental platform. It is not necessary that we are helplessly lamenting. It is not necessary that we are in illusion. We can be above these things. And someone who is acting on the process of Krishna consciousness, he will be able to become a master. The word is a Swami or a Goswami over his senses and mind. This what is meant with this term. There was another verse which I wanted to explain. It's in this connection. Samashrita ye pada palavang plavang mahat padam punya yasho urare bavambudi vatsa padam 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 padama parama parama padama yat vipadam natesham. For him who has accepted the boat of the lotus feet of Mukunda, that is Krishna who gives liberation, for him this whole material cosmos, this huge ocean of material existence, becomes reduced to the size of the water which is contained within the hoofprint of a calf. He is no longer subject to the place in the material world where at every stage there's danger. In other words, the devotee recognizes that the cosmic red box is Krishna's box. It's Krishna's material universe. And Krishna has given us shelter by bringing us in contact with the process of devotional service. He has given this boat. Great saints have taken this boat to leave this rotten material world. But different from other boats, they have left the boat on our side of the ocean, so that we ourselves can utilize it and take the same process. It's not that they went over and the boat is on the other side and we can wetten our couch with tears because we have no access to the process of devotional service. We also can get into the boat of the Krishna conscious process. So someone who is getting into this boat, he will also get strength. For him who abides by the rules of devotion of sadhana bhakti, he will be empowered by the bhakti shakti. We have in Yugoslavia a band, it's called Bhakti Shakti, which sometimes goes to the TV. I remember it. You have one very nice song, Hare Krishna. One very nice Hare Krishna song. Now I can't sing it, but we often are on TV because it's a runner in the Yugoslavian TV. We always do it by playback. There's playback. Certain melody which I can't sing right now. And it's not necessary because we just mime. Everything is recorded. Then I'm always dancing. Then in the end, I'm taking my garland, the song, and throwing it in the camera. And people want to see this again and again and again. It's very popular. By Krishna's mercy, these things happen sometimes. So, Bhakti Shakti, this is the name of the band. Bhakti Shakti, the devotee who engages in devotional service, he will find that he gets superior strength. Sometimes old devotees think, no, this is not true. I'm now for 40 years in the movement. I'm getting old and restless. I'm becoming useless. I have to go to the old age home. Yeah. My life, the rest of my life will be uneventful. It will be dedicated to pizza and ice cream. Because I lack the inspiration and the enthusiasm of the younger days. But this is not a correct understanding of the philosophy. Someone who is, of course, we are helpless rats bound in the cosmic box. Our minds, because our mind is actually influenced. But if we solidly take shelter in the process of devotional service, we will see how a superior Shakti is working. And to end this lecture, actually I wanted to talk on Jiva Goswami, but somehow I got carried into a different subject. To end this lecture, I will tell you a very nice story which shows this. I will tell you the story of Amavasya Baba. Do you know, yeah, Amavasya Baba? No. He is a yogi in south of India. A very nice story. It is so nice. About 300 years ago, he made his first public appearance. It was when a land owner went to hunt in the forest, and he, either with spears or with guns, I forgot, were there guns 300 years ago? I don't think so, isn't it? 17th? When did the guns come up? Why couldn't they not? You are our expert in many fields. No? You don't know? 300 years ago, is it possible that there were guns? It is. What? Front-loaded guns. His power. Yes. You're right. So I really think I remember it was a gun or a spear. At least he went hunting for that elephant and he couldn't kill him. The elephant was so big and such a good eater. He could not get through. And the poor animal was bleeding and was rolling and was screaming. And he felt very bad because he could not kill it. And he suffered so much. So at that moment,